So most of you know we've been coming here for a few years, and this year the Lord wants to do a lot of stuff, give a lot of freedom to the people in this congregation particularly, and then wider from there. So, and we've been doing a few sessions, a number of teaching going on leading up to this point and going beyond here. But this one of the sessions he wanted us to do was a session on the Holy Spirit and getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit and walking in the freedom that goes with that and the requirement for that. So when we talked to the Lord and asked just for some wisdom on how to be taught, I thought he'd just say, give us a name. But he says, no, I want a panel to talk about that. And the reason he wanted that is, he says, because everyone experiences that quite differently. And he wanted, and probably everyone on here has experienced differently, he wanted to share some of that. So that's sort of the foundation of getting to here.
Mm.
Me?
The wonderful Leonie. She's going to serve as our moderator today. Awesome.
You lucky people. You get a double whammy with me this morning.
What? Oh, I'm Scott. Thank you, Barbara. I'm Scott. I won't just introduce my wife. I'll let her do it. But I will hold the mic.
It's like trying to get the remote away. I'm Shabron. Hello. Good morning.
I didn't get to introduce myself because I'm with him. I'm Lynette.
Are you going to bring me a cup of tea later?
Have you been good or bad? And today we're speaking on women in ministry.
Yeah, okay.
Just kidding. I was just contacted by our lovely... do I call you pastor? Friend? Friend?
Just handsome.
About 3 o'clock. Said, here's some questions. Read them out tomorrow. Like, cool, thanks. What else do I say? Just read the questions. So says, can you ask Barbara to take the interview? She has a lot of questions and opinions.
There was a reason we gave it to
you. I actually thought she would have been perfect, for being up here. Anyway. Focus. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I need to learn this stuff. So, why? Darren, why do we need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I think I sort of used that verse earlier, which is one that the Father had given me around, most assuredly, unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it says in Luke 17:21 that the kingdom of God is with us. So if you put those two verses together, we want to be in the kingdom of God because it's within us. And I believe to open up to all that we are entitled to walk in terms of power and authority and position, freedom, you need that baptism of the Spirit. And probably the second part, since we received it, one of the things that the Lord's highlighted to me is that then really starts the process of sanctification in a serious way, of getting us on a path where we can be cleaned up and taken to a position where we can accomplish what he's got for us to accomplish. And probably the third part he's been showing me recently is that when we get to heaven, we do get judged. It tells us right through the word that we get judged. And we get judged on what is written in the book about us and how we accomplish that. It doesn't matter how many good works we've done. It's about what we actually have been put here to do. And I don't believe you can accomplish what you've been put here to do unless you receive the baptism of the Spirit and are walking in the authority he's given us to walk in.
Did you want to add something?
I'm waiting for the moderator. I'm being good.
You may add to that if you like.
No, that was awesome. I think it's like there's a... One of the things I'd said during the Gifts of the Holy Spirit class that we had lately is I really believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I think are used in greater degree under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're not frosting, guys.
Icing?
Do we not call it frosting here? Okay. The yummy stuff on top of the cupcake, okay? Whatever we call that. It's not icing. It's like, it's not like this extra. It's not gravy. Like, it's like, oh, well, I'm saved, but, I don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to do ministry. I want to do life that looks like the book of Acts. Are you with me? And it's like, to do that, I believe this is a necessity. So we're not just, you know, well, I'm saved, you know, and I don't really need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Guys, I look at this as an abject necessity to do ministry and life.
It's really interesting. I had a friend who had all sorts of stuff going on in her life, and she's a really strong Christian. She's walked with the Lord for a really long time, and she said to me, "Where is the power?" Mm. And to have the power, you've got to have the baptism of the Spirit.
And I think, like, I know I personally have been in ministry for 20 years now, and I know that there have been times when I have been walking in ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit, and there have been times when I have been doing it in my own strength, and I don't want to do it in my own strength. It's so hard. It is tedious. It is wearing. It is exhausting. It's discouraging. But when you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is strength, there is vitality. You think about Jesus ministering to the woman at the well, and it said that he sat down, he was hungry, his disciples went to go find him something to eat, and he ministered to her under the power of the Holy Spirit, and they came back, and he said, "I'm fine, I've been fed by my Heavenly Father," and he was strengthened through ministering in the Holy Spirit.
So we don't just get the baptism of the Spirit as soon as we accept Jesus.
Well, biblically, no, that's my opinion. And I think I overheard a conversation this morning as people were setting up, somebody saying, we often say, well, here's what the Bible says. And what we're really saying is, here's what I think the Bible says. You know, so I will just give my opinion, you know, that I believe that there are two separate scenarios. We've got John chapter 21 or thereabouts, and then we've got Acts chapter 2, two separate events of like the receive the Holy Spirit and then the Holy Spirit coming with fire. So I believe they are two events. And so that's what I see biblically. And let me give an anecdote. Anecdote?
Anecdote.
One of those. I had been in ministry with Darren and Lynette for many years, and we had then come down here to plant a church, and then I hadn't seen Darren for probably the better part of a couple years, and I hadn't talked to him for the better part of a year. And I've said this before, I've shared this story. We'd had a little bit of tension in our relationship, some things were sort of the enemy was trying to get in between us, and We had some words, you know. And then I ran into him up in Auckland, and I didn't want to talk to him. But he made a beeline straight for me, you know, and I'm kind of like, oh, looking for a place to hide. You know, oh, hey, bro, what's up? And I go, hey, Darren, how are you? You know, kind of getting into that, like, dropping my foot back, getting the fist up just in case, you know. And Darren goes, he smiled at me. And, like, he was radiant. And he goes, Scott, I've experienced the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just went, I think you have. And and that was our whole conversation. And we drove home from Auckland that day, and I told Jabron, I'm like, whatever happened to Darren, I want it. Now, how many of you, and Darren and I, we've been in ministry, we've been born again for a long time, how many of you would people say that of? You know, that there was an event preceding, post you being born again, or I guess after you being born again, where it's like there was a marked change and power.
Yes, I'll just contradict you a little bit. No, in my view, I was going to win that, by the way. I've got a really good friend, Brian, who, when he was saved... When he was saved, his father took him down to the water to baptize him in water. That literally that same hour took him down. He was baptized, came up, and he was speaking in tongues and seeing visions. So he got both bang smack then. He'd been saved. He'd been sealed in the Spirit, but he was absolutely baptized in the Spirit at that point. And yet I know a lot of people are good friends, great Christians walking with the Lord, but they have not received the baptism of the Spirit. And and they're walking, looking, but have not received it. So it is different. And it's it did in the upper room. They had to wait for it. They were saved at that point, but they had to wait for that baptism.
So just going back a little bit, what were those words of tension that you and Darren exchanged? And Darren, why did you feel you were going to win? No, I'm just kidding.
I think that's the more spirit-filled question.
You said, say whatever I want.
I mean, look, let me just say this. The enemy is always... Look, the enemy wants us divided, guys. Okay? This, what's going on here, growth and people getting together and being a part of one another's lives, the enemy does not want this on any level. Now, Darren, at this point, and Lynette, they stand as elders in our church. Darren is probably the key financial advisor to our church, and there's some humor in that. But for some of the situations we've been through. But, you know, God wants to bring restoration. And I personally have prospered emotionally, spiritually, and physically through my relationship with Darren and Lynette. And I'm thankful for restoration and forgiveness. Does that answer the question? And Darren was not going to win the fight. Okay. Give me a break. I just get on his left side. It'd be
it's my spiritual side.
So you were kind of explaining it a little bit before, Darren, about your friend that came up and spoke in tongues from the water baptism. So how does tongues fit in with the baptism of the Spirit?
Yeah, it's interesting because Lynette will tell you when we, at the baptism of the Spirit, we were friends and literally we got it one day and I experienced tongues for the first time. I'll just finish this one. But, sorry.
But I already had them.
Yeah. That's a good point. So I came back home and I just prayed in tongues for 5 hours straight because it was the most amazing experience. But to me, I hadn't received tongues before the baptism of the Spirit. That was my experience.
And like I just said, I already had them, but I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit because, as Scott said, you can get the gifts of the Spirit before you have the baptism. It's just not as powerful. It's not on the same level. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift kind of blossoms. You might have the bud before you get the baptism, but once you've got the baptism, it gets bigger. So you can have tongues before you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think that was my experience as well. I don't remember when I became a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. I was about 12 years old, and I was at a private school, and there were, I don't know, maybe 40 of us in chapel, and the elders of the church came in and prayed for all of us, and all of us, I as far as I can remember, all of us started speaking in tongues. And it was a really powerful, powerful experience, but I can't really say that I spoke in tongues regularly after that point. And then there was a definite baptism of the Holy Spirit that came much later. I mean, much later.
And I have no issue with what Darren's talking about as far as somebody got, and I can even point to some things I think in Scripture where someone sort of baptized and sort of gets the baptism sort of the water and of the Spirit at the same time. I'm not going to argue that. I think that the verse that popped into my mind is out of 1 Corinthians, as he wills, speaking of the Spirit. And I don't know what sets somebody's heart up for that. That was not my experience. And I feel that the biggest thing that has, because I experienced what I would consider my baptism of the Holy Spirit about the same time Gibran did. And look, I could probably count back on one hand how many years ago it was, which is pitiful. I served in a ministry that did not put a high priority on moving in the Spirit. That's not going to be the case for us. Okay, I want to put a high priority on this for us. But the thing that happened to me is as I started walking with a group of prophets up in Auckland is I feel like they took away a bunch of the thorns and weeds that were choking out that baptism. You know, Lynette spoke of the bud blossoming. I feel like there was so much garbage around my life and ministry that just needed to be cleared away for that baptism to sort of blossom forth?
It's a very individual process. That's obviously why the Lord has got four of us up here, not just one.
Yes, so I was going to say, how does someone receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
It's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I think as Scott said, the Spirit as he wills. In my case, he'd taken me through some pretty heavy trials, and it was a matter of bringing me to a point where there's a real hunger for that sort of that face-to-face we were singing about. And then I actually started down a deliverance path, and as soon as we started that, bang, I received it. And that was, but I'd been brought to a point, like Scott, we'd been through church 10 years of the Word, loved the Word, read the Bible every morning, but he brought me through an experience to bring me to a point where I was sort of broken, and at that point I received it. But that was my experience.
Obviously, I'm his wife, so when you read Job, I kind of understand the story behind Job's wife. Those 12 kids, she had all of those kids. And then her husband's sitting in the dirt, scraping away his boils, and she loves him, and she's just like, I can't take it anymore. So I'm living through the trials with him. For a number of years, I buried my head in the Bible. I did Chuck Missler's Koinonia Institute thing, and I was homeschooling as well, so I pretty much buried my head inside the Bible. And then we got to this point where we both had just minor health issues that were driving us nuts, and we'd been through all this stuff, and Ruth and Phil gave us these set of CDs that we started listening to and praying our way through, and it was a deliverance process, and it was cleaning off a lot of stuff. There was all this stuff that had built up around us, like what Scott was talking about, the thorns and the oppression and things that were sitting on you and stuff that you were carrying around because someone had spoken it into your life. And it was something that I was talking to Darren about in the car this morning. People speak these negative things over you, and then you believe them, and then you speak them over yourself. And the power behind your own words on you is even more than the power of somebody else's words on you. So we started listening to these, praying through these cleansing things, and we got deliverance around the same time. But it was a very different experience between the two of us.
And I definitely have experienced some deliverance over the years, but my baptism of the Holy Spirit came, I was just in my laundry room, I was ironing. I was ironing one day. And I was listening to a teaching about the love of God. And I don't know what happened. I don't know why at that particular time, after hearing about the love of God for 40 years, I don't know why at that time it hit me that God loved me. But for whatever reason, it dropped into my heart. And there was such, I don't know, I mean, I cried for days. I was so overwhelmed by how much God loved me. And then I started seeing every single person on the street of Rotorua. I mean, I was a maniac. I was going up to people, telling them how much God loved them, and people are like, oh my gosh, who is this weird American?
Scott, stop the car. I got so tired.
But the crazy thing is that people were listening, you know, because I've done it since then, and people kind of, whatever. But for that, whatever reason, for those couple of weeks, when I would see people, and God would say, go and pray for that person. That person is sick, and they need to be. I'm like, I don't even know that. This one woman came in like three times in the shop that I was working in. And finally, I'm like, fine, God, I will pray for her. And I prayed for her, and she started weeping. She said, my dad is a Christian. He's been telling me that the Lord's going to heal me, and I just have not believed it. And I had such a love for her, and I just knew that she'd had a stroke. She was very young. She'd had a stroke, and I knew that God loved her and cared for her and wanted her to be completely healed. And I don't know. I didn't get her name. I wish I did. But there was just that baptism of the Holy Spirit in me was the love of the Father, and it just came. It was like it just came in me and was just going out, and it was incredible. And I've had subsequent, like, refillings, I suppose, that have been kind of different. They haven't always been that same feeling of love. But, yeah, they were still powerful.
And I think for me, it was about the same time as Gibran, and we're going back probably 4.5, 5 years? 2012, thereabouts. I was sitting at the same house. Probably a couple days later, I was sitting on our bed reading probably the Bible. It probably wasn't. But, you know, and I was reading, and it just hit me. Like, the Lord spoke to me fairly clearly and said, Scott, the body of Christ is big. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, no, the body of Christ is really big. And it sunk into my spirit. It was like this weight that was super light. I can't explain it. Sunk into my spirit. And I left there with this. I mean, look, I didn't even think about it. The shirt I have, St. John's, out of the ashes. I'm supporting the body of Christ. You know what I mean? It's like I have this tremendous love for the broadness of the body of Christ. Having come from a group of people that were quite narrow in what they thought a Christian was, suddenly I'm, you know, within months, I was voted in as chairman of the Association of Churches. We immediately saw a greater gathering of churches. I'd say the thing that I'm probably known for within the churches is one who draws churches together. That was not me. And I've, same as Gibran, I want to walk in that all the time, but I have times where it becomes like scraping boils, you know, with a pot shard, you know what I mean? But it was that reality, Gibran having this revelation of love, me having a revelation of the body of Christ, has really set the tone and tenor for where we're going in this season. I want to just share one more thing. You know, people, the question was, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? John chapter 7, verse 37, and I'm just going to read the last half of the verse. Jesus saying here, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. See, one of the things that you may notice is really at least Darren and Lynette and myself, and not so much Gibran, maybe, I guess. We were in seasons. I was in a season of utter thirst. Now, here's the thing. If you live in a really, like, water-soaked place, I was out in the bush a couple, 2 weeks ago, and I kept thinking, I'm like, man, I'm so thirsty. And, like, every 200 meters, I'd cross a beautiful little spring-fed creek, you know, I'd just be like, oh, this is great. You know, it's like there's no place to get thirsty. Well, I've also been tramping and hunting in the desert in America. And when you're like, you know, I'm so thirsty and there's no water. Oftentimes, thirst comes out of a place where there's no water. Thirst comes out of a place of desperation. I don't know why. I wish I could conjure that kind of thirst without those situations. That would be, Lord, that would be so much better. But oftentimes I find it in a place, and for me, when I really got some of this stuff cleaned out of my life, I'll tell you what, I was done. I was done. And I don't say that ever. But the currency of heaven is thirst.
And I think about the disciples waiting up there in that upper room who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden he's gone, you know? And it's like, okay, he promised he's going to send somebody. Where is this somebody? Like, we can't do this on our own. This ministry, it's going to fall over if we don't have Jesus. And so I imagine that there probably was some desperation in that prayer of, God, send me something. Send us something, because we can't do this without you.
And I think the second part of that hunger is what your intention is. Because when you're at that state, it's not about you, because you're beyond that, you're broken. And you think about the fact that it talks in Scripture that Simon couldn't buy this when he tried to buy this gift.
Yeah.
And it was for that reason. It was what was his intention. He didn't want this for the glory of healing people or doing those things. It was what was the real intention. And it says in Proverbs 17:3, it says, the Lord comes in the night and he checks your heart. And I had visions of this, and he gave me words around this, where he does. He comes and checks your heart every night. And when he checks your heart, I believe he's checking what your intention is. Are you ready for the next part I'm willing to give you? And I believe that's what he's doing. Every night he checks us. Is your heart in the right place to receive what I want to give you?
And just from what Jabron was saying as well, you know, there's the disciples without Jesus, and they get to this point of just no more. And Peter actually just goes, can't take any more, I'm going fishing.
Yeah,
I'm going fishing because that's what we used to do, and I can't see how we can possibly go forward, so I'm just going to go back. And he goes fishing, and they don't catch anything. It's just not happening. And then when he sees Jesus, it's like, oh, thank goodness. And he actually piles out of the boat. Everybody else just rows to shore. He piles out of the boat because he wants to get there. It's just
Wow.
Huge. Well, you guys have kind of touched on the last few questions of what the baptism looked like for each of you and what some of the effects were for you receiving that baptism.
Different. I was floating a foot off the bed because I immediately, on receiving it, it was quite physical for me. And it was like I was, and I think the Lord knew my intellect would get in the way unless he did something dramatic. And I really believe that was part of how he works with me. You'll physically, I'll get the shakes, I'll get whatever to show that it's him that's giving me that. That reaction, because I'll just rationalise the heck out of it otherwise, and you can't rationalise that. So then he really started on a process of just breaking me further and further, and once I'd received that baptism, because my heart was in the right place, and he just started to clean me out, and it's been a multiple year process, and that's what sanctification is. It's that cleaning you out, bringing you to where he can use you.
I was the complete opposite, and I think God was playing a joke on a lot of people because everybody always saw me as being the loud one, and a lot of people thought it was attention-seeking, and it was probably more insecurity. And the fact that I happen to have a loud voice, and when I talk a lot. So Darren was the one shaking and making a noise. When you sit next to him and the Holy Spirit comes, I call it being in the earthquake zone because the whole sofa shakes. And I would get nothing. So all these people around me are shaking and falling on the floor, and I'm going, so, yeah, what's happening? And it took a really long time as well. And that was also God showing people that it really is him, because people would expect me to be the one shaking or waving my hands in the air or falling over, and I'm just standing there going, yeah. And for a while I was going, well, am I actually receiving anything? So people will be like, oh, maybe I didn't get baptized because that person over there is flat on their face and that person over there is shaking and that person over there is crying and somebody else is laughing their head off. And, well, maybe, or maybe they're just all doing it on purpose and I can't fake it like that. You know, so it took quite a while. And after a while I would start getting tingling. I'll get tingling or I'll get tingling on the back of my neck. Some people see stuff like Ruth, you know, Ruth's like, Ruth sees things. She's a seer. And she'll say, oh, I see that. And people will see into the spirit. Like I think Leonie once said, oh, did you see that haka? I'm like, no! Why didn't I see that? So I'll get tingling, or I'll get a real peace inside of me, or I'll step into a real peaceful place. And yeah, so it's not that you're getting it any less. It's that the way it manifests, which is a really bad word, and it's the right word. The way it shows up in each person is completely different.
It's funny because how would be the best way to put it? I guess I feel like. I mentioned this morning that in this season of sort of fasting for Lent, I've just felt like I've had some breakthrough, and I feel like I'm in that sort of where I'm very much able to tap into that dunamis power. And when I do that, and this happened during the couple years ago when we really first experienced this, it's like I can barely sleep. I mean, for days. I'll be like, you know, I'll be up till 1 in the morning, and then I'll be up at like 5:30, and I'll just be like, ticking away on the computer, getting stuff done, and it's like there's this like tremendous expectation in what the Lord is doing, like, and just a power, you know. There's no fatigue around it. There's no. It's just like it's not. It's like I just feel like it. Like Christmas is like I'm seven and Christmas is like 2 days away. You know what I mean? Where it's like nothing can sort of kill my buzz. You know, it's like this is just a good thing. So, and then, you know, I really still want to reiterate that for me, it wasn't so much the baptism. It was the stuff that was in the way of it. And I just want to reiterate that to people. Sometimes it's the stuff that's in the way.
And I think one of the things that I can remember from that baptism of that love from a couple of years ago is the thing that, and I said I've had subsequent feelings, but I know that there was a point when that Holy Spirit infilling was totally and completely shut down and quenched in my life. And it was because there were a couple things that happened, and I got really angry with this particular couple. They do not live in New Zealand anymore, but they hurt us. They lied to us. I mean, it was really bad. And what they did was wrong, but how I reacted was also wrong, in that I held it against them, and I was angry, and I would not forgive them. They didn't ask for forgiveness, but that's not, you know, it's like when I hold on to that unforgiveness, that's between me and God. Because there have been times when people have hurt me, and they've never apologized, but I've said, God, I don't want to hold it against this person. I want to let this go. So I will tell you that unforgiveness quenched that Holy Spirit so fast. It was literally like someone turned off the tap. And I didn't know why. I couldn't. It took me a couple of months, actually, to figure out what it was, because I was so mad and I was so angry and I just had such hostility in my heart toward these people. And when the Lord finally really opened my eyes to what I was doing, and I was, oh, my goodness, well, I would rather have the Holy Spirit flowing through me than hold on to this grudge. And I can remember just, God, I'm still really angry, but I'm going to have to ask you to help me to want to forgive them. Like, that's how I had to go, you know, help me to want to forgive them. And the Lord just worked in my heart over months. It took months, actually, for this root of bitterness to get dug up out of my life. But, there was that flow, and there was that filling, that new filling. So for me, I think for all of us, it's like unforgiveness is definitely one of those things that will quench that move of the Holy Spirit, because we're tormenting ourselves.
So one of the problems is that, and I'm going to say this as something of a word of knowledge, I think, some of y'all really like your bitterness. Okay? You got a taste for your bitterness, and you like it, and it comforts you, and it's where you want to be. And I say that because I know a guy really well, really good looking American guy, tall, skinny, that walked in that. And I'll tell you what, as Jabron said, and that was a lifestyle for me, and I felt justified in it, which is a very dangerous place to be. And so if that's you, you're going to need to deal with that. And these guys were there when I basically got delivered. And a lot of it stemmed from not because people were mean or bad or had wronged me. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the screwed up view I had of myself. And you know who I was mad at? I was mad at me. But it resulted in bitterness towards everyone else.
Bitterness is a biggie for me as well. And for me, it took a long time to cut off, because I had bitterness to all sorts of different people, just from all sorts of things that had happened all along the path. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the tap turning on was slow. So he had it pouring through him, and he's shaking and quaking and carrying on, whereas for me it was a slow drip and a slow filling and a slow speeding up of the spirit. And I'm still in the process of that.
Yeah.
And some of the deliverance type stuff that we did, the genealogical cleansing, and each time I've done some more cleansing and taken out a bit more stuff, I've gotten more flow. And it's what Darren would have talked about when he talked about hearing God's voice, getting into flow. To get into it, that's the flow that flows through you, and connecting to that. And I mean, you can see with these great missionaries and those great people who really did have the baptisms of the Spirit that they lived in flow. And that would be the awesomest place, but I have a tendency to step out of flow.
Are you asking if you can ask that, or are you asking that? Okay, just checking. For me, it wasn't. What I felt because I had been, and I had, in my mind, been dealt a raw hand that had nothing to do with me. It had to do with my station and lot in life. That's why I felt justified in my bitterness. Does that make sense? So it's like, and what happened though is I learned to use that bitter. I had a rugby coach who said, Scott, you're terrible at rugby. I played at university until someone smacks you in the face. Once someone smacks you in the face, you're an All Black, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, because I had learned through my life to harness that bitterness, and I used it to get to advance in military stuff. I'd used it to advance in athletics. But it has a very limited scope of usefulness. And so mine wasn't necessarily that liking it didn't justify it. It's that I felt because bad things had been done to me totally outside my control, that's what justified it.
So I think just thinking about what's being explained here is with what's coming up with the ministry work and what we're going into, it is about removing some of those layers, and it's in a way. And the Lord said, look, what will happen is those, he gave it to us, and we said those layers will be removed. Like for me, coming through those layers was quite a violent process, but it doesn't have to be that way. He said what he's going to do is remove those layers, and I believe as the ministry teams work to the individuals, because that's how it'll be team to one, that we'll see those layers moved and we'll see that baptism of the Spirit. But I just encourage, it's like when, was it Cornelius, you know, when they came to him, and it might have been Paul, I'm just trying to remember it right, but he said, you've received the baptism of John, but you haven't received the baptism of the Spirit. It was definitely two phases. It was two phases. There was not one phase there. He made that word. And I believe the Lord wants us to seek that baptism of the Spirit if you haven't got it, because you won't accomplish what he put you here to accomplish without it. I absolutely believe it, because you can't walk and complete the works you've got to complete.
C.S. Lewis describes it really well. If any of you have done that, read or seen the movie of The Dawn Treader, isn't that great, but he still does the dragon part, the bit where Eustace has to get rid of his dragon.
Yeah.
And the only way, and Eustace kind of scratches at it and he can't get rid of it himself. And the only way to actually get rid of the dragon is for the Lord to pull it off. And he said it hurts, but it hurts like ripping off a plaster, a good kind of hurt. So basically you're ripping off the dragon.
Cool. So summarising, you can have received salvation, be operating in the gifts but not necessarily have received the baptism, and it means more of a walking in the fullness of the Spirit as the baptism and operating in those gifts in a more full way.
I think just the key point you made is when you accept Jesus, you're saved. You don't lose that. You're going to heaven. What you're doing with the baptism of the Spirit is you're seeking the power and the authority like they did in the upper room to go and accomplish what he wanted you to accomplish and why he put you here. That's the two.
So I feel like what we're going to do here today is Darren had a word about this, and I sort of feel like I had a word and even a dream that was referring to this. We want to operate in the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to operate in those things. And I think as a church, it's like we can be limited in what we do on a Sunday morning, which can be, you know, time restraints aside, can be kind of difficult and unfortunate. But I feel, and I'm agreeing with Darren, independently brought me word. There's a mantle here for some healing this morning. There's an opportunity. There's a flow for healing this morning. And I'll tell you what, I am buzzing for this. I'm super excited. And like I said, I get that. I'm like, you know, I just know the Lord wants to do something. So,
I want to share. I get up early, as most of you know. And so I got up this morning at 4 o'clock or something. And I keep getting to spend my time on the Word before driving down. And I keep getting these visions of back planes. And I was getting visions of people in gyms, people in rowing, people lifting. And then all the way driving down, I kept getting the same visions of back pain through to the neck. And I believe the Lord wants to heal people with back problems this morning. And he's just asking for that faith step for you to stand, and he will heal. He wants to release that this morning. So anyone, yeah, this is a faith step. He wants to heal. He even gave me a number of the people he wants to heal. So.
Like missing tendons and missing toes, and Scott and I were walking through the crowd and we were laying hands on people and we were saying that Jesus is going to heal people. And so if you have a leg problem, you've got muscles or tendons or ligaments or knees or hips or ankles.
And I just keep getting the scripture verse this morning, 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a word, it's a power. And he wants to bring the power. If you read about the healing in the word this morning, he wants to bring the power and he wants to heal.
I also feel like there's space for people want to pray for the sick. Maybe you feel like you've got just the hot hand for that this morning or whatever. I think there's an opportunity for that as well. So if you want to join in, where do you want to go? Just yep.
People who feel they have a hand to put on speak.
Just step out of the expectation, guys. We're creating an expectation, but you got to step out of it. And I'll tell you what, man, I've had times that I could probably count them on one hand, but medically confirmed healings, and it's like there's nothing cooler than that.
Just a faith step. When I first got the baptism of the Spirit, I'm at Calvary Chapel back in Auckland, I'm standing up as an elder in front, and people are coming up, and I'm just getting these words, and I got this word for this guy that came up for healing, and he was going in for an eye operation. And his eye had to be operated to fix, and he was going in this week. But when he went, he prayed for him, because I felt the Lord prayed for him. When he went, and then he came flying up next weekend, and he said, I went to my doctor, and he did the test, and he says, I was healed. And he says, this doctor was a Muslim, and he wrote down, there's been some sort of miraculous healing here. This person doesn't need the operation. That's how our God moves. remember your present name, Father. Jesus, you're in us. The kingdom of God is with us, and we ask for that healing now, that release now of healing from within, with your touch in the hands, the people you've given gifting to, the touching on the individuals. We pray for those backs that I saw this morning. I pray for those specific examples. You gave me vision after vision of different damage being done by different actions. And I pray for that healing to occur now as people stand up. I say, be healed in the name of the Father. Be healed now. And I pray for those knees, those ligaments that you has brought up this morning, that you can give her in a vision. You don't give anything by chance. I say, pray for that healing. I pray for the release of that now. And I say, be healed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be healed now. In Jesus' name. He says, I'm coming upon my people. If they will receive me, they will feel me, they will receive my touch. I'll touch and heal. He says he loves faith. He loves seeing his hand moving in amongst people.
Right now, be healed in Jesus' name.